Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on an impressive result for Scotland. Steve Clarke's side are in the driving seat in their Nations League playoff after a 1-0 win away in Greece. It was a good first half, a more challenging second half, but a win nevertheless, coming back to Hampden. And on the domestic front, Neil Lennon is the new manager of Dunfermline Athletic. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
As you know, I'm a hard man to please, but last night's game in Greece was terrific. All right, Scotland rode their luck and then some in the second half, but they came away with the win, and I'm already looking forward to the kickoff at 5 o'clock on Sunday evening at Hampden. Terrific game. And well done, Lenny, back in the game. Only three men have now managed Celtic and Dunfermline. Neil Lennon is now part of that. Davy Hay did it. And the legendary Jock Stein did it. So Neil Lennon is walking in some company there.
Fantastic win in Athens last night for Scotland. Obviously a game of two halves. First half thought they were excellent. He carried a huge threat. And then second half had to see a different side to the team. Thought they defended excellently. Yes, they did ride their luck, but I felt the effort was there for the players. Some very good individual performances as well, and we are looking to the game on Sunday.
Let's get stuck in then. Friday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and as always, you are the main part of it. So do give us a call, please, on 0141 951 1025. What did you make of it last night? Quite simply, you always try and steer away from reducing it to it being a game of two halves, but it's kind of hard to, because clearly lots of good attacking play in the first half, looked quite comfortable, could have scored more, maybe got a bit fortunate with the penalty, but Scotland have been on the receiving end of not so fortunate decisions in the past.
I'll tell you how fortunate we were. As soon as the penalty was awarded, Jim Duffy texted me. Now, you know Jim Duffy, number one Scotland fan, a man who admits that he is biased and not particularly interested in natural justice where Scotland are concerned. But he said, if that's a penalty.
Well, we should have got one that knocked us out of the Euros and didn't get it. So swings and roundabouts, as they say. But anyway, what did you make of last night? Two very different performances, attacking to begin with, backs to the wall, defensive, another clean sheet against a good side with a very good home record. So what stood out for you? What about the personnel as well? Because you know Steve Clarke can never please everyone. We name the starting 11, people will grumble about this one and that one, and he doesn't play and all the rest of it. How did they all stand up to it? Who got pass marks? Who worried you? And how does it all set things up for Sunday? Obviously a nice position to be in terms of leading the tie. So are you confident Scotland go through from here? Would you make any changes to the team? Ryan Christie's back, available from suspension. Actually managed to somehow escape anyone else getting suspended. Seven of the main players were all on a tightrope and none of them get booked, which was quite something. So yeah, let's do the lot. 0141 951 1025. With no disrespect to the good people of Fife, I didn't expect the top domestic football story to be Dunfermline Athletic related, but here we are. Neil Lennon is the new manager. So I'd love to hear from you Dunfermline fans. What did you make of that? Did you see that coming? Did you think you could get him? And how does this set you up as you try and stay in the championship? I think it's the type of story that maybe even fans of other clubs would want to get their opinions across on as well. So yes, same again, 0141 951 1025. And anything else that's out there, it does not have to be Scotland related. Our own Mark Wilson's back in the dugout tonight, a big night in the championship. If you Celtic and Rangers and Motherwell, St Mirren, Kelly fans have got anything on your mind from the international break, we're here for you. And if you need a nudge in the right direction, which I'm sure you won't, but just in case, how does this sound? Every single caller who makes it on air tonight is into the hat for tickets to Ladies Day at the Scottish Grand National at Ayr Racecourse on Friday the 11th of April. But because it's Friday, we've upped the ante. So tonight it's a pair of tickets to the Legends Lounge as well. So better tickets than we've been offering all week. So the biggest and richest racing festival in Scotland. That's a proper, I was going to say night out, day and night out, that all on us. Legends Lounge tickets. And all you have to do is pick up the phone and make a point to the panel. Sounds good?
Oh, absolutely. It's just a pity that I'll be working here on the 11th of April, so Mrs. Keevans would just have to stay where she is.
Anyway, give us a call right now. It's always nice, Scott, just in a very general sense. For years, this show just used to international breaks. And I still know they're not everyone's cup of tea, that's fine. But they used to just always revolve around disappointment and failure. And then the old soul searching about, oh, we play too much PlayStation and the pitches are too expensive.
Yeah.
By the way, which all might still be true, it's just nice to have a team that quite regularly gets good results and good performances.
Yeah, I think obviously the batch of players that have came through, and especially off the back of the last two tournaments, just the squad depth seems to be getting stronger. I think that's a massive plus. I think what we see last night, I know we said a game of two halves, but it really was. You've seen a different side to the side. The pressure that came under in the second half was intense. Obviously, they're bringing on guys at 17-year-old who had, I think the boy's name was Caressas. I think
his
name
was.
Well, he was good, wasn't he?
Oh.
He was fantastic. So I think when you see the amount of crosses that did come into the box and how well we defended it, that's something to be really positive about, especially the first half as well. So really looking forward to Sunday.
Simon's going to kick things off. What impressed you, Simon?
How you doing, guys? Hope you're all well.
Yeah,
I mean, everything kind of impressed me last night. I thought we were superb. I don't know how many big games Steve Clark's going to need to win, how many tournaments he's going to need to take us to, how many, you know, great moments he's going to give the Scotland fans before, you know, he starts to get the credit he deserves. You know, if this was somebody like an Ali McCoist or somebody, there'd be calls for him to have a statue at Southampton already for the things he's done. You know, he's been the best Scotland manager since Craig Brown, probably. And, you know, at that point, it was easier to qualify. The strength of, you know, other nations wasn't as good as it is just now. So I think that Steve Clark deserves all the credit again. He called a team that I didn't expect it to be. I know Gordon Dale got it right, which I don't know how, what that says.
I know, I'm a wee bit suspicious about that, I have to say. Yeah, did you hear that? Nailed it bang on the team last night before it got announced.
Ferguson in the same position as well?
They nailed a lot.
And the suspicions that he was on to the Ferguson family before the programme started. Yeah. And he did admit last night that he is a liar. And he's, well, I liked his expression that I'm a liar, but I'm working on it.
Yes, did you... Because there was an obvious temptation, Simon, to go to the back three or five, whatever way you look at it. To be fair, for two good reasons, because first of all, it's no shame to want Kieran Tierney in the team, and on top of that, there was no Ben Doak. So what did you expect?
Yeah, do you know what, I expected it to go to the three when the squad was announced. Yeah. And then you heard Steve talking the pre-match, and he basically said that it's difficult to, you know, he hasn't had that long. I think he only had the full squad in the grass on the Wednesday. So it's not like FIFA. You can't just, you know, magically change the entire tactics. So he went with the one that the squad had been using for the Nations League. I think it did pay off. It just showed that, you know, he is a good manager, because he's been able to, you know, get that squad organised for these games. Some of the results in the previous games have been brilliant. I think we'd all bitten your hand off if we were offered to finish third in the Nations League and then be 1-0 up in the playoff going into a game at Hampden to stay in Group A. And I don't buy any of this. You know, it'll be better to get relegated. It'd be better to be, you know, with winnable games, because you want to test yourself. And I think, you know, it's a brave decision over the last maybe 4 or 5 years to take these friendlies and take these games against big teams, because what it is put us in this position where we go to Athens or Piraeus and we're not scared. You know, we're not intimidated by it.
Simon, Could I just address your point about Steve Clark's public image, if I can call it that? Would you agree that it is legitimate to point out that the qualification campaigns have been thrilling, with great results, as you have mentioned, but on both occasions when we've made it to the European finals, Scotland have been very, very poor?
No, absolutely. But I mean, some of the greatest managers in Scottish history took us to tournaments and, you know, didn't get us out of the group stage. You know, some of the best managers this country's ever produced had results like Peru, you know, going to World Cups and being absolutely embarrassed. So I think that's a, you know, obviously everyone wants us to do better when we go to the Euros. Everyone wanted us to be in a better position, but, you know, it didn't happen for whatever reason. I think tactically you question it in some ways. I think in other ways there was a lot of reason behind it, with key players going out injured. I think Dyche's going out in Ferguson before the Euros wasn't helpful. But we should have done better. I agree. We should have, I think, tactically got it wrong against Hungary. But that's raking up old graves, isn't it? That we're now in a position where we go into games against, you know, Portugal and we don't fear them. We go into games against Croatia and we don't fear them. We go into games like Greece away, which is seen as a really tough game. You know, Gordon, you were talking last night about their home record, and we don't fear them. And, you know, you've got to give Steve credit for that. And maybe, you know, if we get to the World Cup and we don't get out of the group again, which obviously is more difficult at the World Cup, and Steve steps aside, maybe that's the next manager, his job to go through. But what Steve's built is he's given that next manager, or if he stays on, a really, really good fighting chance of actually making history with this Scotland team.
Were you impressed or surprised or what, Scott, that he stuck with the back four? Because everyone, you know, in theory wanted to, but like I said, there is no Ben Doak and then Kieran Tierney's back, so it's not like it's easy to do that under those circumstances.
But I was happy he went with the back four. I think the easiest decision, obviously, it's been obviously a talking point for the last few years, is obviously Robertson and Tierney on the same team, down the same side. So for me, I was happy. I felt our best performances since Euros have obviously been with the back four. I know you take your point on Ben Doak. For me, he is, his pace is that one out ball that Scotland do need. And I think going to future tournaments, if we do qualify, I think he'll be a massive part of that. But I was really impressed he went with the back four. I think Tony Ralston deserves a lot of credit. I think he's one who always comes in for a lot of criticism in terms of selection. There's a lot of, it's a position that is up for grabs, but when he comes in, he's trustworthy.
Last
I think
night
that
was arguably his best game in a Scotland jersey, I think.
Yeah, it was for me, who I thought, I felt he was excellent. I think he deserves huge credit. Suter, obviously coming back in as well, someone who's been performing well for Rangers of late, was outstanding. But the big thing for me, in terms of from the Euros, was we seem to have progressed and learned from them. We're playing a better brand of football. I think, I know Simon's touching on Steve Clarke being a big part. A big part of that is the fact that the players playing for bigger clubs now. So that inferiority complex seems to be slowly and surely diminishing from the actual playing squad, because these players are playing in big leagues now.
But it's a good point though, isn't it, Simon? Because that's fine, that's easy to say. Well, Scott McTominay's bound to be feeling good about himself, and Billy Gilmore and John McGinn's captain in the last eight of the Champions League. But that's the challenge of international football. Anthony Ralston is by a mile Celtic's second choice right back. Grant Hanley can't barely get a game for Birmingham in League One. And yet that's a clean sheet against Greece, to add to the clean sheet against Croatia, to add to the clean sheet against Portugal, all within the last four games.
I think that's a, you know, Grant Hanley, I think he should get a bit of work credit for Grant Hanley as well. You know, he was immense last night. You know, I think he, when those kind of games are just back to the wall defending, you know, I think he's excellent. And he's one of those players maybe who Scottish fans don't really get a chance to look at regularly, because he plays for teams like Norwich and Birmingham now, where aren't maybe the most glamorous team or the team you're going to watch every week. So maybe we don't give him enough credit for how good a defender he actually is. If he'd maybe been up here playing for one of the Old Firm, would maybe give him more credit for how good a player he is. But yeah, I think what you were saying there was right in what Scott was saying. But also to an extent, you know, going back in the day, you know, we've had times where we've had guys like Darren Fletcher playing for a Manchester United team at that point, who was one of the best teams in the world. You know, guys playing in the Premier League at the top of their game, and we didn't always qualify, we didn't always do it, we didn't always put in a performance like we did last night. And yeah, just really looking forward to Sunday. I think we'll finish the job. Greece in the second half, you know, they had a lot of the ball, they put a lot of crosses in, but how many times did they really challenge, you know, Craig Gordon? Ralston put that brilliant tackle in. You know, I'm not Ralston's biggest fan, but that was a fantastic challenge to knock the ball into the post at the end, near the end. And yeah, listen, they look an okay team. They don't look like the team that we should be going into Hampden on Sunday and being like terrified of.
Is that the very least then, Hugh, that Steve Clarke or Anthony Ralston or Grant Hanley deserve, is almost just an acknowledgement of what they've done recently? That if you don't like Steve Clarke, I think that's perfectly fine. That's allowed. If you don't think Grant Hanley is a good player, again, fine, allowed, similarly Anthony Ralston. But we may be at the stage now, because we saw it last night and we spoke about it, can we stop being shocked and outraged when they're named in the team? Because yeah, if he's the only real fit right back, he's going to play, and Grant Hanley's in there. And again, it's worth repeating, clean sheet Greece, clean sheet Croatia, clean sheet Portugal within the last four.
Yep.
So see when they're in the team on Sunday, can we stop pretending like it's this big negative?
Well, I listened to the callers last night, and one before the game started, and one actually said to you that Grant Hanley was over the hill. So if you'd gone back to him at 10 o'clock and asked for your opinion of Grant Hanley, it would have been different. As ever with Scotland, if we were to turn up at Hampden on Sunday and lose 2-0, then people will come at,
sure, exactly,
Steve Clarke, Grant Hanley, Anthony Ralston,
which is allowable as well.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, that's part of the roller coaster ride with Steve Clarke. I am not anti Steve Clarke. I am just trying to maintain a sense of perspective. We have thrilling qualification campaigns followed by awful tournament displays. But at least Steve Clarke is keeping it all very interesting. And I thought last night's game was a terrific watch from the perspective of Scotland's attacking performance in the first half. Should have been 3 up, to their defensive performance in the second half, where they kept it at 1-0 for Scotland. And I eagerly look forward to 5 o'clock on Sunday. And that's not like me.
Simon, we thank you for your call. Simon's in the hat for the tickets to your races. So will Gary B when we speak to him next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are now joined by Gary, who's in Blantyre. How are you, Gary?
I'm good, Gordon, thanks. Hello to yourself, Hugh and Scott. Hope you're all well.
Yes,
good.
Well, hope you are too. What did you make of last night?
I'm just on it, I think you need to praise Steve Clarke. I was probably one of the kind of sceptical guys when he came in. His style of play and a bit boring, and the way his Kilmarnock team played wasn't pleasing in the eye. Some of the stuff Scotland played last night in that first half was as good as you'll see. There's a real kind of club mentality. I think the midfield last night, Gilmore, McTominay and Ferguson, are 100% benefiting from playing in Serie A, and which means we're benefiting as a country with the players in the team. But I thought last night was just a great performance. First half, great football, attacking, could have been out of sight. Second half, backs to the wall, defended doggedly. And I think praise must go to Anthony Ralston. He's kind of the whipping boy. Why is he playing? Why is he this? Never has he let Scotland down. So there's so many positives for last night. Far less the result against a very, very good team. Mm-hmm. So I'm well chuffed with where we are.
Yeah, the Anthony Ralston one that Gary mentions, Scott, it should be really obvious. The Grant Hanley one's maybe actually a bit more debatable, because you could say, well, Scott McKenna's playing in Serie A and he's La Liga, and he's on the bench. Ryan Portis and Jack Kendry at times have done a decent turn for Scotland, albeit maybe Ryan Portis quite aggressive again last night after the Euros. But again, I said that you don't have to like Anthony Ralston, you don't have to think he's great, but you can't lie to yourself and say that his Scotland performances haven't been reliable. And secondly, stop being surprised when he's named in the team, because it's international football. And if he's pretty much the only fit, experienced right back, he's going to play the games. And actually, we're in a stage where he deserves to anyway. But it's not like all these players are being left out at the expense of Anthony Ralston. He's always there, he's always fit, and he's actually performing pretty well.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, he's performing well. I think the fact that he can come in, considering he's not playing as many minutes as maybe most of the other players in the squad are, and he can come in and do a job like he did last night, is massive respect to him as a professional. I think, just touching on, I'm just looking at the squad there, and we're obviously speaking about Steve Clarke and guys playing in Serie A. You look at some of the players in our starting 11 and who they're managed by. McGinn, Unai Emery, top manager. Conte, obviously, with Gilmore, McTominay, Robertson, obviously came through with Klopp. So the insight they're getting, obviously, on a day-to-day basis with these guys, it's invaluable. So you then mix that with some of the players like Ralston and Hanley who've come into the squad, it's very impressive, especially to go away there on the back of Greece's record as well, and a clean sheet and to take a 1-0 lead into the second leg. There's massive credit to the players and Steve Clark.
Gary's impressed with the first half performance. The first half performance matters, doesn't it? Because it proves that it's not a case of just going away, just sitting back and actually just getting really lucky, because that can happen in football. But I think the first half performance, once that's in there, it proves that you've at least got that, you know, you're capable.
Yeah, I mean, he has brought together terrific players. To have four players from Serie A in the Scotland team at the same time is borderline ridiculous. And it was thrilling in the first half. And we did ride our luck in the second half, and the post came to our aid and all the rest of it. But Anthony Ralston, if we're discussing individuals, a story of moral courage for me. He's always the whipping boy at Celtic. If anything goes wrong, it's Anthony Ralston's fault. But he's hung in there. Likewise, Scotland. And if I were Anthony Ralston, I'd be saying to myself, well, they can say what they like, but Brendan Rodgers doesn't want to get rid of me. Steve Clark doesn't want to get rid of me.
He's always ready.
Yeah. And he has nothing to reproach himself about. But we come back to it. We're one up, but they have some tidy players, and the tie is not over yet. It's going to be a terrific spectacle at Hampden, 5 o'clock Sunday, and Steve Clark will either be the hero or the villain by the time we reconvene here Monday night at 6 o'clock on Super Scoreboard.
Do you feel pretty well set up for Sunday, Gary? I suppose we did get a real insight into what they could be capable of, because they looked much better second half, didn't they?
Yeah, but I also think Scotland at Hampden's a different beast. I don't think there was much of the ball as they did in the second half. I think it's a different game. Obviously, the home game is different. There'll be maybe 50,000 Scotland fans there, hopefully. It's a different game. But can I just ask two questions? First one is, obviously, on the back of Ralston last night, and by the way, over the past few appearances for Scotland, does he, if Hickey or Patterson are fit for the next international camp, who starts at right back? Does Ralston keep his place?
It's a good question.
I think he does, because Steve Clark is not going to be swayed by, oh, they're younger or they play at bigger clubs. He showed last night that he is true to the players who have done well for him, Ralston being one, Hanley being another.
Yeah, for me, I think he has a trust of the manager, which is, I think, in international football is a huge thing. I think we're obviously talking about that kind of club atmosphere that we maybe got. That's maybe the fact that Steve Clark has actually picked most of the same players time and time again, where you can actually create the bonds and within the squad. But for me, Ralston's earned his right to play now, and it's up to someone to come in and displace him.
Suppose those two are now maybe not in the same bracket as each other, because I think technically Nathan Patterson's fit for this one, but he didn't get chosen. I don't think he was ruled out from what Steve Clark said. I think he said Anthony Ralston was the first choice, but doesn't play all the time, and that's why Max Johnson was in, because he does play a bit more often. So I don't know if Nathan Patterson was strictly injured. Aaron Hickey, it'd be a nice problem to have, because he's a top Excellent. Player. Let's acknowledge that, and how good he looked before.
You need to be patient with him though, because he's had these injury problems and a bad injury at that. So we need to be patient with him as well. And I think Steve Clark will, but you've got Tony Ralston there, who's coming in and doing the job. Listen, it's good problems for Steve Clark.
I would turn the question on its head and say, what has Anthony Ralston done to deserve not playing? You know, he should walk in.
Should be a nice problem though, because I don't know. See, try to think of a good example. You know, if maybe it's a bit more extreme, but if Greg Taylor had come in and done a good job, Andy Robertson would still come back and take his place. Having said that, he's the captain. He's got over 80 caps, so a bad comparison. But you know what I mean. And that type of feeling, Gary. The when you look at the overall picture last night and the way that Steve Clark sort of went about things, what is there anything that does need to be better for Sunday?
No, really, to be honest with you. I said last night we've seen the two different sides of a Steve Clark Scotland team. Kind of attacking flair in the first half, and then defending backs to the wall the second half. I don't think there's anything missing. Really, you've seen the full repertoire of the Scotland team. But sure, just come back to something you said. You said something about just kind of taking it easy because Scotland in the past have had great qualifying campaigns in the recent past, and then we go to the major tournaments and it's rubbish. Now, I'll take that as opposed to what I went through when I was growing up 100 times, 100, where we played rubbish in qualifiers, never made it to the championships, and never played rubbish in the championships. So one step at a time, let's just enjoy that we're making progress.
Well,
and then hopefully the next time we get to a Euros or a World Cup, then we can maybe take our qualifying performances into the championship itself.
Well, being the old codger here, I grew up in an era when you had Dennis Law and Jim Baxter and Billy McNeils and still didn't qualify. You know, at a time when Celtic were becoming the first British club to win the European Cup, the Celtic players and the Rangers players who were in European finals at that time as well, and we still couldn't qualify for anything. So I do accept your point. I'm only mentioning it in the context of Steve Clarke, because the first caller, Simon, felt that Steve Clarke was an unsung hero for the most part among the Scotland fans. I don't think he is, but I also think it's legitimate to point out that the qualification campaigns are terrific, and of course it's wonderful to be there. But Germany, Gordon, Mark Wilson, the Dazzler were in Germany, and it was very, very disappointing.
I think I do know what Gary means. And do you know what? We'll move on quite quickly, because it is quite typical, actually, that after yet another good result, you go back to arguing about whether or not Steve Clarke's done a good job. I think that maybe in itself is the problem. But I do kind of know what Gary means, because we've only been at two, and once you get there, you've got three games. So essentially, if you make a real mess of one out of those three games, it's quite fine margins. That's not to say it's okay, but it would be nice to sort of, you make a good few and then you start to establish whether you're a good enough team to progress or not. Do you know what I mean? You can go to a tournament, you can make a proper mess of one. Like, take the first one.
Yep.
The first Euros is the best example, because you're expected to lose to Croatia, and we did. Yep. We got a good result at Wembley, so you have one bad day. Your real bad day is the Czech Republic, and you're out, and then the whole Euros is a shambles. Do you know what I mean?
I think the first match of the tournaments is huge. I think if you can get a win, I think looking at the tournaments, teams like Wales and Northern Ireland have qualified through it, so you always kind of compare yourself to them. But I think we've got to look at it now as that's behind us. I felt we've had a change of style of play since the Euros. I think the squad's been freshened up as well, and I think in terms of youth players coming through, I think it's only going to be positive looking forward.
Because last point on it, but you're right, but it depends what you want to project onto that, because similarly Wales and Northern Ireland have gone through, big teams go out if they get one game wrong. You see every tournament, you know, big teams go out. So
the first game is really important.
Gary, did we get away with one with the penalty decision?
Yeah, if I was Greek, then I'd be a bit disappointed. But listen, they didn't get it, and we've suffered so much kind of bad decisions against us over the years. So do you know what? You'll take it when you get it, and unlucky Greece.
Well, we're back to VAR. I mean, VAR agreed with the decision. So if the machine upheld it and the human being upheld it, you take it, even though Jim Duffy thinks it wasn't a penalty.
I thought it was one of those that might just fall into that category of they won't overturn. You know that way that you do, where it's like, maybe, but that's about as much as I could.
Did any part of you think that was a penalty?
No, not particularly, but you know what I said, it becomes a completely different question, doesn't it, when you're looking to overturn. And certainly glad it was there, because it was definitely outside the box the second half, and wouldn't have been given otherwise. It's nice to have the reliable, 11 goals in his last 22 Scotland appearances. We said it last night, the first Euros we got to was with him in the back three, and now he's scored 11 goals in his last 22. Scott McTominay, it's a great return, isn't it?
He's even beginning to look like an Italian.
He's got the Scott Allen hair.
So, and he's got some of the...
hair was looking fantastic, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Some of the Italian mannerisms.
I mean, look...
that doesn't work in radio, does it?
I watched a game, do you remember Liam Henderson? It was at Hibs and at Celtic. I watched a game at Empoli Juventus the other week, and he was doing all the
mannerisms.
He was doing that to his teammates. That must just be part of the culture there.
I'm not going over the top. I'm not going to say it's only a penalty. That sounds a bit disrespectful. Obviously, he'll score harder goals, but just consistently.
Well, look at last night's penalty. Yeah. I mean, the way he put it away.
With laser pens shining in his eyes.
Yeah. Everything going against him, and immaculate composure.
Because we know there are limitations in the striking area.
Yeah.
But that's okay if you've got the like John McGinn and Scott McTominay continually chipping in the way they do.
Yeah, they too have been a huge part, obviously, why we're able to go there and win games. I think you look at Greece, they've got an £18 million Benfica player on the bench. Pavlidis comes on last 20 minutes, whereas we are looking to our midfield as our top goal scorers. But you've got to give huge credit to McTominay. Yes, he scores a penalty, he still needs to go up. You show that composure like he does. But for me, he arrives in the box really well, so he always looks a goal threat. You obviously have that from John. He's shown that with his goal record over the last few years. So, listen, if he could just be maybe one or two more in terms of strength and depth in the striking areas, then I think we could be a really good side.
Gary is in the hat for the tickets to the races. So will be Gio in Barrhead. How's it going, Gio?
Hi, good.
What made you call tonight? What have you got to share?
Right, impressed with Scotland last night. I thought I'd been watching the game from behind the couch. That wasn't the case. However, now I can't remember how long this guy was on the park. Ryan Porteous. Now, they bring him on, and within whatever number of minutes he played, he put at risk all the good work. His tackling is abysmal. Now, I remember him when he was at Hibs, and he gave penalty after penalty away against Hibs. He kept getting sent off. Then I think he went down to Watford and he kind of settled down a wee bit, played some good games for Scotland. But he came on last night and the co-commentator, James McFadden, you even heard him cringing at a couple of the tackles he made. He nearly halved a guy with his first tackle. The next one was worse. And the third one, I mean, there was only three tackles you actually saw, but each one of them could have been, and probably one of them should have been, a red card.
Put it to you, Scott, because you know him. Is Gio on to something, or do we always get a little bit carried away over the top with the criticisms of Ryan Porteous?
Yeah, I think it's obviously amplified, obviously, based on what we've seen in Germany. I think if you take that side away from Ryan Porteous, he isn't the same player. So yes, at times he is. There's no question he's really rash, and he does come on last night and runs the risk of putting his team under some real pressure.
So that was a naughty one last night.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. But that's
why I don't think he can be our first pick.
We talk about trust, don't we? It's in about Tony Ralston, and that things like that, and it's hard because it's a huge part of his game being fully committed. But it does. If you look at some of the tackles over the last few years, it does look to leave a bit on the opponent, and sometimes that's what fans are looking for. But I think when it comes to this level and games, obviously being decided on one goal or not, and coming under huge pressure against teams who have good players, he's cutting it very fine.
I think you let him away with one by saying fully committed. There's being fully committed and then there's being utterly reckless. And the fatal flaw in his makeup, and it will clearly never leave him, is that he's utterly reckless when you really do not need that. And that's why he couldn't be a first pick.
Steve Clark would probably deny this and put it down to just, you know, other players playing well and staying in, which is bound to have a bit of validity about it. But it was the first time we've seen him since the red card against Germany. So you just wonder if and how much it did damage. Because the run up to the Euros, he was really good.
He came on at fullback though, didn't he?
He played most of the qualifying games and we weren't having these discussions. You know, so it's not constant. He played a massive role in getting Scotland there, sent off against Germany, and we hadn't seen him since in a Scotland strip until last night. Scotland have played a lot of games since the Euros.
Yeah, they have, and I think as well you need to factor in the fact that he's coming on, obviously, at a stage in the game where they are under a lot of pressure, and he's probably thinking, sorry, I don't want to be the guy to let us down here in terms of someone skipping by him or maybe getting caught in the ball. So he is, yes, he's fully committed, but I think that does play a part in terms of the mentality when you're coming on a game like that.
Thank you, Gio. You go into the hat for the tickets to the races as well. A fair point. 01419511025. And if you call now, we will try our very best to get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. What a pair to see in your weekend, honestly. Yeah. International weekend, so it's a bit of a change of scenery for you all. What are you up to? What are you getting up to since you don't have the usual grind of the football on a 3 o'clock on a Saturday. Hugh Keevans has got the day off.
Yeah.
You spend it wisely.
I'm just going to sit there and wait for the kick-off on Sunday at 5 o'clock.
It's no move. 26 hours or whatever it is. Maybe you're going to the Sky Sports Cup final. The women are playing Rangers and Hibs, so there are options. Maybe you're getting out to see your local team, your lower league team, your West of Scotland teams, whatever it is. You can tell us, give us your thoughts on what you're up to instead of the normal Saturday afternoon card. Let's bring in Kevin, who's on the line. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi, good Kevin. To hear, Kevin. What are you thinking?
No, I was just phoning up just to make a couple of quick points on Scotland to just say Scotland, the fact that when one of the other callers said that when I was growing up we couldn't qualify for a tournament, we were getting beat off, I would call, diddy teams. It was just actually quite humiliating, but it's good to see Scotland actually go compete with these decent teams, maybe not the top teams, but decent teams in Europe, and especially away from home when we're actually gone and you don't feel that we're going to get beat. Even I know people are saying we're backs against the wall yesterday in the second half, but I didn't really feel really under pressure. I know they hurt the post, but the rest was just good defending. Yep. And Anthony Ralston had a wee bit of question whether she'd be in the team or no, but he stayed up to his task. So I thought I was quite proud of Scotland again.
I think that's another fair point. We're now clearly offering way more in attack than we did at times over the years, but you quite rightly point out, we've got a lot of good players. You would like to think that. There's also loads of Scotland teams in the past wouldn't have come away with a clean sheet last night.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think when you look at the previous games, we've obviously spoke about clean sheets and how, I know you all speak about goals and how goals has an effect on a football team. See, not conceding goals and being able to defend hard periods in a game, you come away with massive confidence, especially in your back four, your goalkeeper, and obviously in your units between midfield and defence. So I feel that putting the kind of run of clean sheets among scoring some goals, that only brings a bit of confidence, especially the way last night was. First half brilliant, second half had to defend cross after cross after cross, and you come through that with a clean sheet, the squad take huge confidence from it. So that's, as much as people say backs against the wall, it's what that actually does for you as a player in a team where you can trust your defenders and your midfielders as a whole team to go and defend properly, and to every man, I felt Scotland done that really well last night.
There's nothing wrong though, Kevin, with introducing a little realism. Scotland were under pressure, undeniably under pressure.
I think you know what Kevin means though. Like, if that pressure, and it did feel like pressure, but if that pressure amounts to the sort of the lack of shots on Craig Gordon's goal, you would take that. Do you know what I mean? I think they didn't have many.
And, you know, bottom line. Attacked well first half, defended well second half, beat Greece in Greece, back to Hampden, and be aware of the fact that they've gone to Wembley and won there. So don't assume, be happy with what happened last night, and let's just get the job done Sunday.
You fancy finishing the job off, Kevin?
I do, actually. I think at Hampden, I'll be another tight affair. I think maybe a 1-0 or something like that again, but Scotland's favour. And I think all the boys are really helping. Like, it's good to see he's actually having some top quality players, like high level players, Champions League players, all playing in my squad. So it's I can see he's doing it.
I wonder if that away form and that kind of resilience or steeliness that you need mixed in there, Scott, if that's maybe a kind of unheralded part of Steve Clarke's reign. We don't really go and have majorly bad games away, you know, against teams that are either round about you or better than you. I'm thinking,
well, that's what's
even, you know, like, so if you go last night, obviously win in Greece, the game before that is a win in Poland, the last campaign was characterised by a win in Norway. He's drawn away in Ukraine. He's won away in Austria. He won on penalties, you know, away in Serbia. It never really feels like you go away and get a properly bad experience. Is that fair? Apart from the Euros.
Yeah, but you give yourself a real chance when you're organised and you have a structure, and all the players are obviously adhering to that. And I think that's definitely what you're seeing with most of the squad who have been with Steve Clarke now for a number of years. I think organisation plays a huge part in that. I think that's what we spoke about to some of our teams domestically and when they went away this year from home and how well they've done. It usually comes down to organisation and players carrying out the instructions that are set from the manager, and you need to add into that individual performances and some of the quality players we now have within that squad.
I'll tell you what the real success was from last night, Hugh Keevans. Modern day football, you can get booked for pretty much anything. You nudge the ball away, you look at somebody the wrong way, a wee tug of a shirt, you're booked. We went into last night with Anthony Ralston, Grant Hamley, Kenny McLean, Billy Gilmore, Andy Robertson, John McGinn, Scott McTominay. So pretty much all our good players, one booking away from missing the game on Sunday, and not one of them got booked. How did that happen?
Well, I can't give you an answer to that. It's a statistical miracle, really.
Incredible.
You know, even one out of seven either said, well, that's understandable.
By the way, especially some of the, like, Scott McTominay's quite aggressive. You know, he gets booked.
Yeah.
Like, Grant Hamley.
So most of the players you just named there.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe it was just meant to be. The VAR decision that went our way, the VAR decision in the second half that didn't go their way, and for seven players to slip the noose, just incredible.
And to make it even better, Ryan Christie, who was suspended, now comes back in for Sunday. So there you go. Thank you to Kevin. He's in the hat for the tickets. Steve Clark was pleased with the attacking display in the first half and also happy with that defensive display in the second.
So first half we were excellent. Played the ball around really well, created some good chances, could maybe have been a little bit further in front at half time. Second half, we, to be fair to the Greeks, came out, got about us, stopped us playing. We started going a little bit too long. We didn't get a hold of the ball as well as we did in the first half. And then you're asked to defend, and we defended quite well. You know, we defended our box. Felt like a lot of pressure because of the number of free kicks and corners that are going in into the 6-yard box. But Craig didn't have too many saves to make. I think only one effort on target second half. So credit to the team defensively in the second half. But a lot to like in the first half.
But the least surprising development of all is that Steve Clark wasn't getting carried away. He says it's still all to play for at Hampden on Sunday, especially because of Greece's impressive away record. They won away to England, remember.
Game on, still open. I don't see the game as being closed at all. I was impressed with the Greeks second half, thought they were good. Their away record's good in the qualifying and the group stages. They went to Ireland and won comfortably, they went to Finland and won comfortably, and they went to Wembley and won, so the game's still wide open.
It's a home game though for Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans tonight, so let's see if they can come out on top when we do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on, Friday night. You've got the weekend to look forward to. The sun's even been shining. Imagine capping it all off with a Beat the Pundit victory. You take on Hugh Keevans or Scott Allen, you get more questions right than they do, you win yourself a signed ball and untold amounts of bragging rights. Clearly priceless in this game. So give us a call before 7 o'clock, please. 0141 951 1025. And your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans says it was a fast first hour, which is usually a good sign. He must be having fun in here. So 0141 951 1025, give us a call.
Sit beside my grandson.
Let us know what you're thinking tonight. Of course, the Scotland game last night, big talking points. How impressed were you? It was obviously an attacking display first half, defensive display second. Who stood out? Who didn't? What needs to be taken into Sunday? How is the tie set up for Sunday coming back to Hampden? Give us all your thoughts, please. And remember, every caller who makes it on air tonight goes into the hat for Legends Lounge passes at the Scottish Grand National Air Race Course as well. So worth getting in touch. On the club front, Neil Lennon, the new Dunfermline manager. What do you all make of that? Whether you're a Dunfermline fan or not, I'd love to hear your opinions there. And it's an open forum. Anything else that you want to get off your chest, whether you're a Celtic, Rangers, Motherwell, St Mirren, Kilmarnock fan, whoever it may be, why not give us a call before 8 o'clock and we'll talk football with you. But in the meantime, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. Apparently, a loss for you, Scott Allen, takes you below Gordon Dalziel, a man who eats beefalo hoops for his dinner, he explained last night. So that's what's at stake here. You don't want to be below a guy that eats beefalo hoops for his dinner.
Did he win last night?
No. No, he didn't. No, so that's the chance to actually... Do you know the thing is, Hugh, You know what he's like. He's a box of surprises. And he's speaking about eating beef hula hoops for his dinner. And I said to him, I actually feel like he's a very beef hula hoop type of guy. Yeah, I couldn't really
put him
explain.
In his fingers, didn't he?
Exactly right. Oh. That's exactly what we said. And then it's incredible how people actually give this stuff like real attention and analysis. I got an email in from who was the guy again? Stevie Ingalls. I think I hopefully have said that right. He says, hi guys, I emigrated to the USA a few years ago, but I listen daily on the podcast due to the time difference. Anyway, after listening, when Beef Hula Hoops came up with Gordon, I actually think he's more relatable to Beef Space Raiders. A good, cheap, semi-respectable, crisp selection in the 90s, but nowadays hard to find with less appeal than hula hoops. Still worth 10p a pack though, he says. Seriously.
I can't believe we're discussing this.
But he's actually, man, that makes sense to me. Stevie has summed that up perfectly. So let's hope it's a bit more straightforward tonight with Ewan, who's in Dumbarton. How are you, Ewan?
Not bad, how are you?
Good, thank you. Have you ever played before?
No.
Oh, it says you're a Partick Thistle fan. How's Mark Wilson doing?
Doing pretty good, isn't he?
How's that happened? Are we rubbing off? Is Gordon DL rubbing off on him? Is it all the wisdom we give him in here?
Aye.
On a serious note though, you've been impressed with the upturn in form recently?
Yeah, I have. We played really well.
You going to the game tonight?
Yep, sat in the car.
Fancy your chances?
No.
Oh, okay, there we go. Mark Wilson can't be doing that well then.
Home game against Wraith. Shoe in.
I think we'll get a point, I reckon.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Let's... Do you know what I'm going to do? I said this last night. I don't know how this happened. So last night it was a Dunfermline fan. We never get Dunfermline fans. And I looked down... And there was a Dunfermline question. Tonight I look down, there's a Partick Thistle question.
There you go.
I'll leave it. I get that one right then.
Exactly. Right. Heads it will be Hugh Keevans. Tails it will be Scott Allen. And it is tails. Scott up against Ewan from Dumbarton. So we'll give Scott something else to listen to Ewan, so he doesn't know what you're saying in the next 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer. Okay. Okay, 30 seconds on the clock for Ewan in Dumbarton, and your time starts now. Name any player who made their Scotland debut last night.
George Hurst.
At what stadium does the Sky Sports Cup final take place this weekend?
Hampden.
Where do Partick Thistle currently sit in the league?
Fourth.
Who was the last Scottish manager to win the Scottish Cup?
Pass.
At what time does the Scotland game kick off on Sunday?
5 o'clock.
Which Scottish Premiership team have a hand on their club badge?
Come on.
How many Rangers and Celtic players started the game last night? Okay, Scott Allen, can you hear us?
Yes.
You ready? Who've Kelty got tomorrow?
A broth.
Oh, it's a big game.
Big game.
What's more nerve-wracking, that or this that you're about to embark on? But you might say that. Okay, 30 seconds on the clock. Same set of questions to Scott Allen, and his time starts now. Name any player that made their Scotland debut last night.
George Hurst.
At what stadium does the Sky Sports Cup final take place this weekend?
Broadwood.
Where do Partick Thistle currently sit in the league?
Fourth.
Who was the last Scottish manager to win the Scottish Cup?
Pass.
At what time does the Scotland game kick off on Sunday?
5:30.
Which Scottish Premiership team have a hand on their badge?
Pass.
How many Rangers and Celtic players started last night?
Two.
In the current Scotland squad, who's the only player who's played for Hamilton Accies?
Lewis Ferguson.
What do you think, Ewan?
I'm not sure.
Okay, let's go through them. Sounded pretty tight to me. Scott, you got more questions in. Let's find out the damage that was done. Name either Scotland debutant last night. You had George Hurst or Max Johnson. I know it was only for a minute. Don't dare take it away from a Motherwell Academy graduate. Surely he'll be a future quiz question, because his old man must have got Scotland caps.
Yep.
So there can't be many father and son combos. Anyway, Max Johnson and George Hurst, you both got it. None of you got this right. At what stadium does the Sky Sports Cup final take place? Fir Park, Motherwell. Why do you think I'm so happy to be working at it? I can go back to the local area, see the people, go up to Fir Park for an easy shift. Anyway, right, one each. Partick Thistle. You know, I need to accept your first answer. It's just a rule. It has been since the dawn of time. So
They're fourth.
So you don't get the point for that, Scott Allen, I'm afraid. But Ewan did. He's a Thistle fan. Goes 2-1 in front. It is a tough school. It just, those are the rules.
I've seen the decisions go favourable.
No,
for
you've
some
not.
Other
no, you haven't. I'm very strict with those. The last Scottish manager to win the Scottish Cup.
Gordon Strachan.
Callum Davidson.
Oh,
forget. Now this one, I nearly took this out of the quiz. Right, at what time does the Scotland game kick off on Sunday? Because for some unknown reason, Hugh Keevans has mentioned it about 43 times since we came on air, and I actually messaged the producer and said, why does he keep mentioning the kickoff time when it's in there? Tell him it's 5 o'clock.
Yeah,
you said half five.
But he, I asked him,
I know,
I said five,
you
but
told
he said
him
5 o'clock.
So let me just quickly paint the picture. We came in to the studio and Hugh turned to Scott before we started and said, when does the game kick off on Sunday? Scott said 5. Hugh Keevans has then repeated it 43 times since the show started, and you got it wrong. Unbelievable.
High pressure.
Ewan got it. So Ewan goes 3-1 in front. Which Scottish Premiership team have a hand on their badge? It is Kilmarnock. Ewan got it. It goes 4-1 in front. You knew though that there were two Rangers Celtic players, Souter and Ralston. So you're 4-2 behind. Lewis Ferguson, Hamilton Ackies, you got that as well. But it was too little too late, as the saying goes, and you stay behind the Beefalo Hoop man in the table, where no one wants to be. So if you just a wee bit extra composure on the Partick, well, yeah.
Why did I say it?
What's worse,
well,
the Partick Thistle answer,
to be fair, I knew that, and or the Partick 5:30. The 5:30, no, Partick Thistle, because
you
I did
told,
say it.
You
I did
told
say
Hugh the kickoff time.
Do you know what, he told me twice. Because being an old codger, I forgot I'd asked him and asked him again, and he gave me the right time.
Unbelievable. Anyway, Ewan, congratulations. I set you up for a good night. You still don't think Thistle will win though?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
So, well, Thistle.
There we go. Who's that in the background, Ewan?
My dad, aye.
Brilliant. What's his name?
Cameron.
So Cameron's more optimistic than you. What's the rest of the season look like then? You think you'll finish fourth and then just...
I do think we'll finish fourth, but I don't think we're going up this season.
It's quite a tough run, isn't it, to go from fourth and
yeah.
win the...
I mean, you're in
the... You get beat by a 14-year-old.
Are you only 14? Ewan's only 14. Oh, no. He's tucked you away and he just wanted to bring that up.
He's got his dad there telling him the answers.
No, Ewan answered them all himself.
No answers for me.
Yeah. Well done,
Ewan.
Let's
go to a good school.
Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thank you so much.
Good man. Sounded very mature.
14-year-old. Yeah, exactly. I'd have put him 10 years older.
Ewan's about 40. Are you kidding? Yeah. Is he kidding? I don't think Scott Allen's happy about that performance. I think that's rocked him.
He'll take it out in our broth tomorrow.
Well, we'll see. We'll see about that. Watch this space.
He'll run, score a goal and he'll run towards Dick Campbell and then...
Dick Campbell's, he'll be coaching the East Fife.
I was going to say, that'll be some run.
Has he left our broth now?
Where are East Fife playing?
Sorry, Dick.
Oh dear. 01419511025. That is the number that you need. So get in touch. Let us know what you're thinking. You can tweet as well at ClydeSSB. Now, one of the biggest stories of the day is that a very well-known, high-profile manager in Scottish football, in Neil Lennon, he's won it all with Celtic. He's had good times at Hibs. He had an unbelievable playing career. He's a well-known pundit. So a huge name in the game. And as of today, he's the manager of Dunfermline. Let's bring in Craig, who is a Dunfermline fan. What was your reaction to that news, Craig?
To be honest, at first it was very surprised, because I thought it would have been Kettlewell, if I was being honest. Mm-hmm. Just because I've seen him past couple of games being sitting in the stand as well. But again, it's a not too bad choice, especially just to try and keep us up. Because we have been absolutely atrocious. I mean, I watched the Rafe game and it was diabolical in putting it in the nicest way possible.
Yeah, because I mean, look, obviously Neil Lennon, maybe last couple of jobs haven't gone the way we'd have wanted, or he's been further afield, but I mean, he has still kind of won everything in Scotland as a manager. Did you think he was unattainable, so to speak?
Kind of, yeah. Just obviously with the new owners, you don't really know how much money is coming in, so it's always a hard thing to say. But if they're giving them the back end to hopefully try and keep them up. And obviously he's got that experience. He's obviously won the championship with Hibs. He's won the Scottish Cup, I think, four or five times, as well as the league. So he's no stranger to winning. And that's what we needed. Tisdale, put nicely, was the wrong choice. I personally thought it's always going to be the wrong choice. Bring him in, a war league manager who's been not the best record. But again, it was what the board decided to do at first.
Well, we'll get back to that with Scott Allen. I'm almost certain he'll stick up for Michael Tidzer, having had him at Kelty. But Hugh, you know Neil Lennon very well.
Yeah.
Were you surprised at the appointment or the news?
No, because I can imagine that Neil's been pacing the floor, wanting to get back into football. The media work for him is all very well, but essentially, you know, he's 53 years old now. He wants back in the dugout. The initial job he has to do here is one of survival, because Dunfermline are in a precarious position and they don't want to be in the relegation playoffs. Neil Lennon, the question is, do the Dunfermline players have the temperament to handle Neil Lennon? Because he is a hard taskmaster and they are going to have to jump to it when he gets in there, because he has no time to lose. It's also in the form of an audition for him, because he won't get the job next season if Dunfermline don't stay up. But as Craig on the line has said, he knows the championship. He won the championship with Hibs. There'll never be a dull moment, but he is demanding, and he is correct to be demanding of a team who have underperformed dreadfully all season long. So you can prepare for an explosion at East End Park, and the players will have to respond to Neil Lennon.
Give us the insight, Scott. What do you think, having worked under Neil Lennon?
I think it's still a hard ask in terms of, I know what Neil Lennon looks for in these players in terms of that endeavour first and foremost, but most importantly, Neil Lennon still wants to play football, wants guys to be brave in the ball. To think that you just throw Neil Lennon at it and they're going to then inspire them to play a certain way and get over the line. Let's have it the way it is. Dunfermline haven't had a good season from the start of the season. They've picked up results and then we're on a few runs and not won games. So they are where they are because of the results from the start of the season. I think Neil coming in, he is very demanding in terms of the change room, whether Dunfermline players can handle that sort of pressure when they're all already under a lot of pressure from their own fans week in, week out to perform will be interesting to kind of see from afar. So I still think it's a big ask for
I think
Neil.
You know, for the players as well, it's an addition because they have to show that they've got the temperament. Otherwise, they're no use to Dunfermline or any other club. So they have a finite number of games, don't end up in the relegation playoffs, and, you know, Neil Lennon, I would assume, would then get the job on a full-time basis and would bring in players that he knows he can trust. But it's trench warfare now. So yeah. if you're no good in the trenches, then you're no good to Neil Lennon, because he's been in the trenches before and he has pulled through. You remember, even at Omonia and Nicosia, they almost put Manchester United out of Europe. It didn't go well for him in Bucharest, and he will have been champing at the bit to get back into the game. And, you know, he understands the job and what has to be done in a very short space of time, and the players had better be up to the challenge.
See, on Michael Tidzer, Craig, you said you never thought it was the right choice because he was appointed from a lower league and didn't have like an amazing, brilliant record of results in the lower league. But see, in many ways, right, is that not the point? Is that not why folk like me on the outsider are looking at it and wondering how that happens? Because he's clearly been appointed then for a very specific reason, and he's not the guy that's top of League One and he's just winning every week. He's clearly, this has all been thought out by your ownership, that he's got a style of play and he's able to bring that, and they've gone after their guy. It's not an obvious one. They've gone after him to then bin that after 8 games. How does that work?
It's always going to be a hard one. I mean, regardless of what manager it was in. I mean, when McTague did go, I was kind of thinking it would have been like Ian Murray, because there was heavy talks with him, but then all of a sudden there was nothing at all coming through. I mean, I know a couple of people who like kind of close to people on the board, and that's what they were saying as well. It's like there was talks with a couple of people, but nothing ever came through. So it was always a hard one, because the way they were, Dunfermline should, realistically, the team that they are, they shouldn't really be struggling as bad as they have been, which that's why the fans are irate and upset.
You'll get an immediate indication, Craig, won't you? Because he's away to Scott Brown, first game Who knew an air
Dunfermline game would get such sort of headlines and wider attention?
Well,
what a dugout that's going to be.
Exactly, and every camera will be trained on the two dugouts. But it's a wonderful opportunity for Neil Lennon, because if you go there and get something out of that game, it sets a tone, and it's a positive tone. So it's a very interesting opening game for Neil.
Obviously, Scott, there's no point in pretending you worked with Michael Tidzer, you like Michael Tidzer, you're bound to defend the situation, but I still think that's okay, because as we've spoken about, he got the job for a very specific reason, and then so 8 games later, it's all a bit bizarre, is it not?
Yeah, well, you get the game initially because of obviously the style of play, the fact that you've built a team from scratch with a lot of young players coming in loan, getting called back because they've done well. I think you'd need to take into account that there obviously isn't the same amount of pressure at Kelty Hearts, nowhere near obviously what you would be under at Dunfermline, which is obviously such a well-supported club. I think in terms of chances created, we were right up there in terms of League One, and made a lot of injuries throughout that time as well. I think even goals conceded at that point before Michael Tidzer left, and we had we were highest in possession most games every week, so it wasn't like it was just possession for possession. So we were creating lots of chances and scoring goals, and obviously have the top goal scorer in the league as well. I then think you go into a club where you're having to then pick all the players out, pick the players up who have been under some immense criticism from the Dunfermline fans, and rightly so, obviously, if they're not meeting what they expect of the players on the pitch. I then think it gets to January and you would like to have a say in terms of recruitment, and they bring in, I think, 8 or 9 players and you don't have a say in any of them. I think that can be really difficult.
Craig, ultimately, will Neil Lennon keep you in the Championship?
Fingers crossed. I hope he would, but again, it just depends on how especially the youngsters, how they kind of buck up as well. I know you've got like Benedictus, who's, again, a good role model, good leader, but is he going to help motivate the youngsters as well coming up, that are kind of coming through and through? And who's actually going to really ensure that they work for the badge rather than work just for the taking away?
It's going to be fascinating, that's for sure. Thank you to Craig, who's a Dunfermline fan. What about the rest of you? Whether you're a Dunfermline fan, a Neil Lennon observer, a neutral in Scottish football, what did you make of him getting the Dunfermline job? Give us a call right now. Craig's in the hat for the Ayr Races tickets as well. You could be as well, so give us a call.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. It's 0141 951 1025. There's still plenty of time to react to Greece against Scotland. Maybe you've heard enough, you've sat long enough, and just want to get the old fashioned Clyde One Super Scoreboard stuff off your chest. Rangers, Celtic, Scottish Premiership, whatever. You can give us a call, and we can do that if you so wish. Every caller, I keep saying it because it is worth mentioning, all you have to do is make a point to the panel tonight and you go into the hat for tickets to the Scottish Grand National Ayr Racecourse on the Friday the 11th, Ladies' Day. And tonight it's tickets to the Legends Lounge as well. So good seats, as they would say, Hugh Keevan.
Yeah.
So get involved. Also includes live bands after the racing with Barioki on the Friday. Do you know what Barioki is?
No.
You know what Barioki is? No, I thought you'd have come across this before.
No.
So you know Barry from EastEnders?
Oh, right? Yeah.
On.
So he comes and does his thing, and like, I think you sing with him. It's something like, you know, he's famous for going up and singing.
Yeah,
I'm going to do it anyway. That sort of thing. So he does his turn, and people go and get involved.
He's a rotten actor. So
if you're into that, A Critic Speaks. What's your soap of choice?
Oh no, I hate them.
Oh, no, I knew you would.
Given up
a
on them,
question.
And it's not for me. I've got an Alexa now.
Oh, and can you work it?
Well, you only talk to it, don't you?
Does it understand you?
Oh yeah. I started off today with Beethoven.
Like, seriously?
Yeah, Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven.
He's a man of culture. Imagine that. Imagine going from starting the day with Beethoven and finishing it with us two in here on a Friday night. What a come down that is. Alexa, play Joni Mitchell. I can just imagine you. After a couple of glasses of red.
Oh,
Van Morrison.
Poor Mrs. Keevans this morning. I said, "What's that?" I said, "It's Beethoven."
When did you get your Alexa?
I've had it for a while, but I didn't know how to.
Oh, hold on. We bought you it.
Yeah.
We bought you that years ago for your birthday.
So, my son-in-law came up and fixed it up for me.
Did not get you that for your 70th?
Oh no, it can't be that.
Was
long.
It? No, maybe not. No, I think it might have been.
You got to change your phone, Hugh.
No, he doesn't.
He does. No.
What's
no,
the
no.
point? Imagine he comes in with an iPhone. What's the point? Then he's lost his identity.
Yeah.
That we bought you that, Alexa. I knew that rang a bell. I'm glad you've eventually got it sorted out. Anyway, see the things you discuss in this show. We'll get to Kenny in a little second. Just quickly, have you heard about the unlikeliest tussle in Scottish football that's going on? So you know the crazy pony sends in the full-time teaser questions. One appeared the other day from someone called the Sensible Donkey, clearly trying to parody or rival the pony's work. So the crazy pony's responded. He says, am I going to end up in a misfits boxing match against the Sensible Donkey? Anyway, here's a full-time teaser. This is great. I'm a bit worried that it's too tough for you to, no offence. Oh. Can you name the last 10 Scotland goal scorers who've played for one and only one Scottish Premiership club? Right, so it's the last 10 players to score for Scotland, and they've played for one but only one Scottish club.
Are we going?
So just to be really obvious about this, Scott McTominay scored last night, but he can't be in it because he's never played for any Scottish club.
Yeah.
Similarly, if you were to pick John McGinn, he's played for more than one Scottish club, so he wouldn't be on the list.
Are we going back as far as Paul McStay?
Oh, we're not going back that far at all, really.
No.
No, nowhere near that. So are there any, just spitball.
Callum McGregor.
Yes, there we go. That's a good one. He scored at the Euros, didn't he?
That's the day I didn't move.
And that's right. And he's only scored. He's only played for Celtic.
Tierney.
Yes. Any others? Any others? So any other players in there that have scored for Scotland and they've only played for one Scottish club? Current Scottish Premiership club. So I take that back. That is key detail. One current Scottish Premiership club. That is important for a couple of these.
Mm-hmm. Andy Robertson.
Yes. So has played for Queen's Park, but one current Premiership club. So we'll leave it there. Andy Robertson, Callum McGregor, Kieran Tierney. We're looking for the last 10 Scotland goal scorers who've played for one and only one current Scottish Premiership club. Kenny is on the line. What made you call tonight, Kenny?
Sentimental stuff, guys. Evening, Gordon, Hugh, and Scott.
Okay.
Well, it's just as I think Neil Lennon's a fantastic appointment for Dunfermline. I've got a wee soft spot for Dunfermline. Many years ago, the '80s, I missed the Hearts bus to go to the away game in Fife. And my mother, God bless her, she actually drove me there, but she wouldn't come into the green because she was wearing the slippers.
A wee soft spot for Dunfermline. So you think Neil Lennon will work out well there, Kenny?
I hope so, because he's a good character to still have in the game, you know. I mean, he's fiery, but he's going to rustle a few feathers in the way Neil goes about his job.
Think he'll keep them up?
Hopefully, because I've got cousins in Dunfermline and they go passionately every week home and away, so... fingers crossed. I think it's a good appointment.
I think he's an excellent pundit as well, by the way. I've been really noticing that recently.
Rustling feathers, you know.
Not before.
Kenny mentioned that phrase there, rustling feathers. That's essentially what the job's all about, because he has to keep Dunfermline in the division. He has to avoid the playoffs if possible. Okay, he can be part of the playoffs and still keep Dunfermline up. But ruffling feathers, a team who have underperformed since the start of the season, basically, he's got to get them going in jig time. And, Lenny is an abrasive character. They will have to live with that, those players. It's professional football. There's a serious job to be done. If you can't respond to a manager like Neil Lennon, then what do you want out of the game? You know, do you want a nice man to come along and pat you on the head and tell you everything's okay?
What are his strengths as a manager, Scott?
Man management. For me personally, it made me feel very confident getting into every game that I played for Hibs under him. I felt really managed me really well and probably got the best out of me out of all managers.
How does he do that?
Just individual chats and compares you to other players. And
I've heard this before. So what he says, you're up against, look at that midfielder you're up against today, you're miles better than him.
Yeah, things like,
and it makes you believe.
Yeah, plant seeds in your head.
I should have tried that and beat the pundit tonight.
So things like that. And then listen, he's a very intelligent guy. He's not one that will be mad on tactics. Like I said, he'll expect nothing but hard work for his players. But also, he's a guy who wants to play football, wants you to be brave on the ball. So that's my point I was making. I'll be really interested to see what he gets out of the Dunfermline players, just because it's been a season long run in terms of how they've performed.
So look, this might be unfair because I think there's an outside perception, and I don't know if it's accurate, but still ask you the question, because there would be a perception that Neil Lennon is of a school and such a demanding Celtic upbringing, you know, where you can pretty much be as vociferous as you want in your criticisms of your teammates, and really demanding high standards. All those guys that played at that time are sort of like that. There might be a perception outside that modern players and younger players and lower league players struggle to hear those home truths. Is that a potential?
Potentially, yes. And if you factor in the fact that these players won't be high in confidence at this moment in time, so that's the fine line between getting them believing in themselves and then giving the home truths if it's not good enough. That's the balance that Neil Lennon's going to have to find to obviously spark some sort of performance out of these Dunfermline players.
Is it the hardest job he's had in Scotland? You know, he won a title with Celtic. He didn't win the title the Celtic fans wanted, but there were a whole list of contributory factors where that season was concerned. But he did win Hibs a title. But this is from the word go about survival. And in a short space of time. So, and it begins against a team going for promotion, managed by Scott Brown. It's going to be a fascinating watch.
That must be, by the way, this has happened since the dawn of time, and Sir Alex Ferguson came up against Lowe's. It must be murder when you were a manager and then your players start becoming managers, and if they beat you, the old school competitive mentality.
Yeah, I can't imagine Neil Lennon's. Would like Scott Brown to beat him on the touchline for sure. But
do you know what? I remember Scott as a young, very young man playing for Hibs, playing against Celtic Easter Road, and he stood on Lenny. And Lenny was basically going over to take his head off. And here they are many years later, rival managers. As I say, every newspaper cameraman will be focused on the dugouts. And it's just going to be fascinating. You know, Scott Brown's okay. He's in the race for promotion. Neil Lennon has got to keep a club that's had a terrific past. He's got to keep them out of the third tier of Scottish football. Very demanding job.
Yeah, I think looking at that, Scott Brown's been allowed to build Ayr United and how he sees the game, and obviously the recruitment and the players that he's brought in. That's the one thing that Neil Lennon won't have. That was the one thing Michael Tidzer didn't have. So Scott Brown's at a completely different part of the season. They are obviously looking to push Falkirk. For Lenny, it's just about, can you get something out of these players and keep the team afloat this season?
Kenny, when your mother drove you there in her slippers, did you win?
Yeah, we did, actually. As I walked into you, Gary Mackay scored an absolute cracker that day.
What about the current crop, Kenny? How keen are you to see James Wilson get a debut for Scotland on Sunday?
Oh, I'd be over the moon, mate. I mean, the young lad's he's shown a lot, you know what I mean? He's taken a lot as well. And you see it. I mean, me and the kids are at the games every week, home and away, but you see it, the older, wiser guys, you know, bullying the life out of him, and you think, no, you're wising up. You've seen it in early days, you know, your Johnstons, your nice players, Charlie Nicholas and that, they've all got clobberings. They'd still be the players there.
Yeah. I guess in theory there's more scope for a James Wilson or a Lennon Miller in the home tie. I think you always kind of felt that would be, you know, just the environment and whatever, a bit more likely.
I'm still trying to get my head around the fact that James Wilson scores in Edinburgh derbies, and James Wilson is clearly a huge talent in the making, and here he is in the Scotland squad and he's still at school.
I know, it's remarkable. What was funny about it is it felt like, actually, Lennon Miller, it felt, maybe was quite close last night, purely because we've got so many good midfield options, but we played them all. Do you know what I mean? That's why we have to call up so many, because they all started.
Yeah.
So there actually isn't that much there. You know, if they're all fit and available, fine, but if one or two are struggling, all of a sudden a debut for Lennon Miller at some stage looks quite close. I know there's this suggestion about James Wilson and I don't think there's any suggestion he's not committed or willing to change his mind, but I think Northern Ireland are quite keen, and you know, whether it's a case of trying to get some competitive caps, I think we'll see either of them Sunday at any stage.
Depending on the game, I think in terms of Lennon Miller, if there was an injury, I think he is a young player, but I've seen a lot of him. I think he's very composed. He's got a good temperament, so I think he could come in and do a job, especially around in and amongst some of the players we've spoke about earlier. In terms of James Wilson, really young, yes, again a huge prospect. I think he and himself will think in the next 2-3 years there's a real opportunity to go and make himself Scotland's next top striker.
We only play with one striker, Hugh, so Che Adams started and George Hurst came on, which means Tommy Conway's looking for a bit of game time.
Yeah.
Kevin Nisbet's looking for a bit of game time. So maybe we will. It would be nice to see.
Nice position to be in, you know, to have, because for a long time we thought, who's going to stick the ball in the net for us? But now there's a waiting list, and you know, James Wilson's time will not be long.
Well, thank you to Kenny for taking the time tonight. He goes into the hat for the tickets to Air Races as well, as could you if you keep your calls coming. We've even got the joy of Mark Wilson on your telly. Partick Thistle, Raith Rovers, not too far away from kick-off, a big night in the Championship. We've just been speaking about Dunfermline, of course, as well, and Neil Lennon being the new manager. So it really is all happening. How are you doing on this teaser? Now, remember, the whole point of the full-time teaser is that you send the questions to us and we try and have the pundits answer your question throughout the show. So tonight it is, can you name the last 10 Scotland goalscorers who've played for one and only one current Scottish Premiership club? Andy Robertson, Callum McGregor, Kieran Tierney.
Sean Maloney.
Nope. You're not done with the current squad yet.
Lewis Ferguson.
Don't think he's scored for Scotland. They don't have to be known goal scorers to found the back of the net, remember? You got Robertson and Tierney in there. A quick whiz round the Scotland squad. Who's played up here for one current Scottish Premiership team? We maybe spoke about them earlier on in the show.
Tony Ralston?
Nope. Is that, did he go on loan to Dundee United or something? Because you had me worried there.
St. Johnston.
St. Johnston.
Come on, we spoke about them. Defenders.
Porteous.
Ryan Porteous.
Johnny Russell.
Yes, you've plucked that one out. That's the furthest back. There you go. I'll give you a wee clue there. So they're all since Johnny Russell. Well done. Johnny Russell, Kieran Tierney, Callum McGregor, Ryan Porteous, Andy Robertson. And we will be back with more of your calls after these.
Step around Scotland for Cash for Kids Day.
Now that you've put that story in my head,
Hugh Keevans might be getting on a bit, but he still walks. He still likes to get out there on the tarmac and put in the steps. So we need you to take inspiration from him and really help us out, because what a challenge we've set ourselves. We're going to team up with our friends at 101 Convenience Stores to step around Scotland. It works out at about 16 million steps to cover the distance. So we need your help. We need lots of your help. There are plenty of ways to get involved, but probably the easiest would be the Kilt Walk, because you can sign up to walk anywhere between 3 and 23 miles. And if you get in touch with the Cash for Kids team, you can claim your place for free. So, but whether, look, whether it's the Kilt Walk or not, or you just get your school involved, your work involved, do it off your own back, whatever you do, every step counts towards our target of 16 million steps before Cash for Kids Day on Thursday the 1st of May. So we're raising money to make sure that children don't go hungry during the school holidays, because right now, on a show that's full of useless football stats, how's about this for a really important and very sad stat? Right now, 1 in 2 children in some parts of Glasgow in the West are living below the poverty line. So we're doing our bit to try and change it. Sign up at Clyde1.com. Let's step together on Cash for Kids Day, proudly supported by 101 Convenience Stores.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's been a quick show tonight. That's us in the final part, the home stretch on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Just about to kick off between Partick Thistle and Raith as well. Let's see if Mark Wilson's got the stopwatch round his neck or if he's been shamed into ditching it by us. We've got a good full-time teaser on the go for you, thanks to the Crazy Pony. A reminder to send your questions in to fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name the last 10 Scotland goal scorers who've played for one and only one current Scottish Premiership team? Andy Robertson, Dundee United. Queen's Park are not in the top flight. Ryan Porteous at Hibs, so he's loan spell at Edinburgh City, who doesn't come into it. Callum McGregor, Celtic. Kieran Tierney, Celtic. Johnny Russell, Dundee United.
James Forrest.
Nope.
Oh,
surprised at that.
I'm surprised at that. Why would that be? God, are his goals against Albania and so on further out than all these? Yeah, maybe they are actually. Maybe they are. Just, I would say. But there's one more who was in the squad last night. He didn't come on. Silence is not good on radio. No, just not, sing me a song or something while you're thinking.
Whistle Beethoven Moonlight Sonata.
Another defender who did not come on last night.
Liga.
McKenna.
Scott McKenna. So again, I think he was on loan to Ayr, wasn't he? But the only Premiership team current that he's played for is Aberdeen. So you're doing okay. You've got four to get. You won't be surprised to hear they're getting quite difficult now. Uh-huh. But you're doing okay. Let's bring in Scott, who's got a question for the panel. Take it away, Scott.
Hi there. Hope you're all doing well.
Good. How are you?
How are you doing, Scott?
It might be a controversial one, but obviously just making the Belgium debut in that last night. Do you think that Nico Raskin could be, if no, the best defender in Scotland?
Midfielder. Yeah, midfielder, you mean?
Midfielder, yeah.
So what, you think he is currently?
I would definitely say so. Now, the reason I'm saying that is I would have said it was Callum McGregor, but obviously even in the final and in the January game, I thought Raskin dominated him.
So the trouble with the Rangers-Celtic game, or Celtic-Rangers as it was last Sunday, is that it creates instant heroes and instant villains. What I would say to you, Scott, is that Nico Raskin set the ball rolling. Rangers thoroughly deserved to win last Sunday. But where's he been on other occasions when Rangers were... Yeah. Going out of cups and losing the league by a distance to Celtic, where's he been then?
He's injured, but the thing is, he's actually kept. If he stayed fit, I think he's definitely been the most consistent midfielder in Scotland.
Clearly not.
No.
Because Celtic are 13 points clear at the top of the league.
Here's the thing about these questions, you're almost forced into sort of criticising Nicholas Raskin if you don't agree with the point. He's been really good, Scott. He's in really good form. He's got his Belgium call up and he's been excellent. So that can be true. And then you can politely think that he's not the best midfielder. Maybe you do.
No, not for me. I think you can recognise how well he's played in the last month or so, obviously, especially away to Fenerbahce and then obviously in a couple of the Celtic games. I think for me it's got to be based in consistency. So for me it would be Callum McGregor. I don't think Raskin's better technically on the ball than Hatate or Callum McGregor. I think his strengths are obviously pressing and then from that type of area in the midfield then letting passes go, but when he's asked to maybe go and create against low blocks, which we spoke about, I don't think he's over the same level of Callum McGregor Hatate yet, but I think he's shown signs where if he can kind of show that consistency next year, then the answer could maybe change.
Is that maybe fair? Scotch maybe needs a bit more time and a bit more consistency to be considered that?
Well, as I say, I know he was bad for injuries, but he seems to be, even under Ferguson, I think he looks one of the fittest players, if not the fittest. Like, it's the way that he just seems to be controlling things now, and I don't know, it's just if he's matured a lot as well under Ferguson coming in. I know it's only been 3 or 4 games, but it's, to me, he looks, if he can stay fit, to me, he's going to go for a lot of money anyway, put it that way.
Everyone's been better under Barry Ferguson. The bar had been set at a pretty low level, but they have responded to Barry Ferguson. And no one denies that Raskin is a talent. What he has to do now is be part of a Rangers side that wins things, basically.
And needs to be more than 3 or 4 games.
Yeah.
Ultimately, especially at a club like Rangers.
I think, to be fair, you know, you could technically be the best in your position whilst not being the team that wins the league or whatever, but I know what you both sort of mean. Well, you can agree to disagree, Scott, on the line, and it's one you can revisit because maybe they'll change their mind in the future if he keeps going. That would be a significant milestone, though, the Belgium debut.
Oh, yeah.
Number of reasons. Can it make him a better player? Does he get more confident? Is he better from the experience? And then, as Scott says, there's just the way it works, there's an unavoidable business bit of this. You become worth more if you're, you know, a full international.
Yeah. It's indicative of the job that he has done in recent weeks. But as Scott Allen said, you know, it has to be based on something more substantial than the last few weeks.
Maybe he's just a sort of microcosm of the challenge that faces Rangers as a whole right now, Scott, where you can't take anything away from Fenerbahce and Celtic, and it was excellent and it deserves praise. But it all maybe requires just a bit longer just to see how it does pan out against Dundee and St Mirren and Motherwell and, you know, these teams over a long period of time. Can it all translate? Can you break down low blocks? It's probably the same challenge you've put to Nicholas Raskin that actually faces Rangers, overall just now.
Yeah, and that's my point. I think if we're talking about consistency of midfielders, I think Callum McGregor would obviously be the main one. I think for me, technically, Hatate's one of the best in the league, if not the best. I don't think Raskin, in terms of on the ball, was close to either of the two. I do think his strengths, as I said, are obviously getting up and play, putting guys under real pressure, and in the big games against these players, he's done well over the last few games, so you can't take that away from him. I just think consistency and put him in amongst a team who's winning consistently as well, we might be changing our minds in the future.
Thank you to Scott again. It was a good point, a good debate. We should have put Scott on at 5 past 6 and we'd probably get a full 2 hours out of that, but we did fine, just fine, looking back on last night, because there were so many talking points. In 6.5 minutes, my sight's letting me down. Partick Thistle 0, Wraith 0. Not a great deal doing. Partick had a couple of corners. I was just wondering what Mark Wilson's been working on in the training ground. Any fancy set pieces?
Race had a good header, and Budenakis in goal dealt with it very well. And at the other end, Brian Graham side netting. And Mark Wilson is not wearing a stopwatch around his neck.
I mean, if he's a friend at all, Gordon Dale played for Wraith, played for Partick. Yeah. He's just up the road. Surely he's there to support his pal. Not working tonight. We're not even on tomorrow.
No, he's not there.
He's on the recliner with the feet up.
Yeah.
The hula hoops and the fingers.
It's disgusting. His feet there up. Right. Thank you to the Crazy Pony, who says, can you name the last 10 Scotland goal scorers who've played for one and only one current Scottish Premiership club? Always sounds like a lot of information, but once you hear the answers, becomes a bit easier. So like Andy Robertson scored for Scotland recently, and he's only played for Dundee United out of the current Premiership clubs. Ryan Porteous, Hibs, Callum McGregor, Celtic, Scott McKenna, Aberdeen, Kieran Tierney, Celtic. Scott pulled out an absolute cracker, Johnny Russell, Dundee United. You've got 4 to get. Tough, I would say.
Give us a couple of clubs just for a wee help.
There's actually a Rangers one, and he will be in squads again, you would imagine. Could have been maybe last night. Still quite young. Now you're really testing me for his Scotland goal. I think like Armenia away or something like that. Plays in the English Premier League currently. Can't be many former Rangers youngsters playing in the English Premier League.
Nathan Patterson.
And now we're going back a bit. What about, there's a former Celtic player on here. Now here's the thing about this guy. He's played for loads of clubs, but only one in the Scottish Premiership, despite being a Scotland international. He's played for a couple of English clubs, quite a few German clubs.
Oliver Burke.
Well done. What about a small winger who started his career at Aberdeen?
He was at Newcastle,
correct,
wasn't he, in Bournemouth?
Yes.
Ryan Fraser,
anyone?
Ryan Fraser.
Right, I'm going to put. I've given you so many clues. It's like a game of guess who. A Kilmarnock defender. Now he was at Celtic, but I think the Crazy Pony covers every detail. He probably didn't play a competitive game for Celtic. He's still at Kilmarnock, but he's out injured.
Stuart Finlay.
Yes. Stuart Finlay scored against San Marino, I think it was. Thank you to Scott Allen and to Hugh Keevans. Thank you for listening, calling, tweeting. No Clyde One Super Scoreboard tomorrow. A huge hole left in your Saturday, I'm sure, but the good folks here at Clyde One have more than got you covered. The GBX is up next.